Hey, this is John Hawley for the Bodybuilding Pro Series, and I've got a very special guest that we're actually re-recording an interview that we had done previously while her and her husband were at one of their annual races, but we had a poor connection that night. But this lady, she turned pro as a master's competitor at Masters Nationals in 2013. And at this stage, some, 5 years later from turning pro, she's second in the world based on her placing at the Olympia in the women's physique division. And she set some records. She's distinguished as having placed top 10 in the last two Olympias in two different divisions. We've got with us Jennifer Saunders-Taylor tonight. Thanks for being with us, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me, John. It's always exciting.
Well, I wanted to present you with some pizzazz, but I don't know if I did it right by saying
that. It sounded good to me. I like to hear listening to it.
It sounded good? Okay, good. We expect more out of the competitors, maybe, that turn pro with an overall at NPC Nationals or USAs, but not necessarily, there's not that expectation of greatness, which you've achieved turning pro as a master's competitor. Not only have you achieved a lot on stage with your placings, but you've done it from a really unlikely starting point, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I never really thought of it like that, but I was right at the beginning of a master's division, so I was probably the youngest master's there. So, I don't know, Jim looked at the numbers of what the cutoff for the age was, and he's like, you need to go for that attempt. You're going to be the youngest competitor. So he has a good way of finding where your show is, where you have an opportunity of placing well. So, I don't know, he just thought with me being the youngest in the group, that was going to be our first shot at a pro card.
And Jim, you're referring to your husband, who is your in-house guru, so to speak, right? Jim kind of directs you on all things, right?
Yeah, but I don't think we've ever said the word guru in our house.
Well, he is the guru. We need to start hanging that.
He's the mastermind behind it. He researches a lot of stuff, but he doesn't think of himself as a guru.
It's curious, but I tend to communicate with him when I'm trying to get information about you. He's like your manager, guru, all wrapped into one. But we say it kind of jokingly, but you really rely on his direction a lot, don't you? I mean, it's what he says is what you do.
Well, absolutely. I think that's just what you have to do at this level is find somebody that can just take all the thinking out of it for you. So all you have to do is what you need to every day to, you know, prepare yourself. So, yeah, he takes care of all the littlest things and, you know, a lot of the training and the diet and the supplements and, you know, handling stuff on social media and knowing what's going on outside. And all I have to do is wake up, eat, sleep, work a little, and repeat.
And repeat. And you're...
I just couldn't get any better than this, so I just, like, why don't I... I need to take this opportunity as far as I can.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've done pretty well. There's not much further you can take it unless you go ahead and knock Juliana off.
Well, that's what our goal is.
That's the plan.
That's the only thing in our sight right now.
Now, to address that, the specifics of that, the plan for this year is a little different than typical. Normally, you're competing in quite a few shows, but your plans are different this year?
Yeah, we're just, you know, going to take our time throughout the year and just ramp up and try to, you know, I've stayed in condition almost all throughout the winter. It's just, you know, getting my body, you know, back in shape and filling back in. And it just feels like I have a lot more time to work with. You know, it's going to be more relaxing. There's, like, no pressure. Even though we are going to stop in Arizona right before the Olympia just to, you know, get my feet back on stage the week before and just get warm, like a little dress rehearsal, I guess.
And win some money? for that stretch that's, limo?
Yes, I would like, I need some gambling money to change the picture.
You turned pro in 2013, but you had been competing for a number of years before that, correct?
I had done like one show every year from like 2009. I did my first show 2010 and 11. I just did one show a year, and I guess Jim's just like, if you're going to keep doing this, you need to do it and make something out of it. I think you have something. So mm-hmm. he just put the plan together for the pro card attempt in 2013, and it just happened way quicker than we anticipated. Mm-hmm. We, you know, talked to so many girls who've been trying to get it for year after year. And I told them, I'm like, are you sure you want to, like, revolve our life around this? You know, I'm not going to be in any fashion or, you know, athletic magazines or anything. He's like, no, let's make a run at it and see what this is all about. So everything's just been a pleasant surprise, to be honest.
Now, before that, you were doing barefoot skis, I believe, when you and Jim met, when y'all were in your 20s and such. Y'all have been together as a couple since y'all were kids, correct?
It feels like it. I was 20. He was 27. So we were at least in our 20s. We were, I guess that is young compared to kids now. I don't know. Yeah, we were young. He's like, now we're like been together twice our life now. He's going to be 52. Woo.
So, with the skiing, the way Jim tells it, you were quite extraordinary in that too. I mean, it's like everything that you've put your mind to, you've excelled at.
Yeah, if I find something I like and I enjoy doing, and you know, if it's you know, I always like a good challenge. And when you're with Jim, you're just going to get better at whatever he teaches you. I mean, he's a natural at teaching anything, but just barefooting was his passion at that time, and it's just something I always wanted to learn, so that was like a big turning point in my life. I'm like, oh, I get to finally learn something I've always wanted to do as a little girl, because we grew up on a lake, and I saw him train with all the top athletes in that sport, and I'm like, oh, that'd be pretty cool to, you know, be the upper elite of, you know, any sporting event. So mm-hmm. it was cool just hanging out with him and his guys.
I visualize one of these old movies like the guys with the music and everybody's going around having a great time. The Flash Dance, not that Flash, what am I thinking of? Footloose. I think I'm thinking of that sort of thing. I always visualize that sort of thing. For people to kind of set the stage, y'all live in Zephyr Hills, which is between Tampa and Orlando, but it's really rural out there. I mean, you've got to drive some distance to get out of the woods to civilization, so to speak. So y'all are really kind of in your own zone out there, but y'all been living there the whole time. Y'all grew up kind of in the country, but at that point y'all were doing ski competitions all over the state as well. So it's not like y'all are really backwoods. I mean, y'all were out in the backwoods with your ski boats and race cars and all this sort of thing coming to the city whooping folks.
I know, when I brought Jim out to Zephyr Hills when we first got married, he's like, oh, I cannot live out here. I need to be by the water. So it was a little bit of a culture shock for him.
Oh, where's he from? I thought he was from out there as well.
No, we started out in Tampa.
Oh, he's a city boy.
On the Hillsborough River, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I was out in Lutz.
You were in Lutz?
In Land O'Lakes.
Oh. Well, I remember the first time I met Jim doing a shoot with you over there at your gym in Zephyr Hills. It really struck me how smart he was. You could tell by the way he was connecting things that this guy had his wits about him. It just kind of showed from a variety of ways, because he's concerned about how conditions are around you for you to be your best, and at the same time y'all have an actual big race car event in Georgia each year that's really a huge event, and that y'all partner with, and you know, y'all've got other businesses as well. It's just amazing all the things that he's juggling, but you wouldn't necessarily know it. There's no airs about it, either of you. Y'all are both just really laid back and accomplished.
Oh, thank you. We just get up and do what we like every day, and somehow it all just seems to, you know, go hand in hand. A lot of our racers, you know, help support me and competing and stuff, and just, you know, having everybody back you up just makes you even want to train and determined to do your best even more. Mm-hmm. So it works out good, all the people at the gym and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And y'all, at the
gym likes to have lots of projects. That's what he likes to do.
He likes to have projects.
But he's very successful at them.
Yeah.
So I end up eating my words sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say, when y'all were talking about switching, you were doing so well, winning multiple shows in 2016 in figure, going to the Olympia, top 10 in the Olympia, and then you're talking about switching to physique. It's like, who does that? I wasn't going to say, I don't think that's necessarily a good idea, but statistically, you just wouldn't think that would be the route that's necessarily going to work. And then here, if anybody had any doubts, y'all laid them to rest with your record last year, again, of multiple wins and second place at the Physique Olympia, so with the Women's Physique Olympia. So that's just phenomenal. It kind of demonstrates, too, that you can't go by statistics all the time. Statistics don't tell the story. There's something else going on. And you all seem to be able to put it together.
Well, yes, it does seem like it worked out from the outside, but it's more than what we ever imagined, because, like, even from the first time we wanted to get a pro card, we figured it was going to be the first of many attempts. We're just like, let's just go see what happens. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's just the attitude we had when we switched classes. I convinced Jim that I think I've maxed myself out as far as a figure competitor. I'm content with 10th place, and, mm-hmm. I still have a lot of gas in me, but I want to push it and challenge it, so mm-hmm. let's just see what happens. And, you know, this was the best time of any to go for it, so I didn't think much of it, and I know there. I didn't feel no pressure, so I think that just makes it a lot easier just to smoothly transition. I just went and just thought about having fun, seeing what it was all about.
Enjoying it.
Enjoying it, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What was the? Do you remember those feelings of that participation in your first pro show?
I remember the first pro show, was Tampa 2013. I mean, that was, months right after I got my pro card. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you just got to go try it and see where you fit in amongst the elite. And I was a nervous wreck. It was just like my whole first show all over again. Mm-hmm. You just feel like you're up there with a different caliber of athletes, and you kind of second-guess yourself if you're really that great. You just get lucky. But I don't feel like that anymore. Naturally, I guess after 7-6 years, whatnot, I feel like I've kind of matured through everything.
How about the Olympia? The first time stepping on the Olympia stage, how did that feel?
That's very surreal. It's like, all right, I guess you're at the big show, so you do have something. It's just like every time I go to Olympia, I feel a little bit more accomplished and more confident. So I feel like I should get nothing but better, you know, physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm. And that second place at this last year's Olympia, how did that feel when they're calling out the placings and you know, there goes fifth, there goes fourth, there goes third, and then there you are?
like, I got one more spot to go. I did not expect that at all. We were gunning for maybe the top 10. You know, top 5 would be ecstatic, but the top 2 just seems like a miracle, and it's just like, I feel like it's a test I've been given, and I have to give it my all to prove, whatever opportunities are given to me. I can't pass any of this, pass it up. It's a chance of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing you at shows. I particularly remember probably, I don't know, maybe it was 2009, 10, back when you're getting tanned with Elisa Hotspot Tanning, and you're just so reserved and so humble and so appreciative of the other athletes and so forth and kind, but really that small town sort of gal that doesn't have any airs. You know, sometimes you see these big city girls that are kind of, they got their hair kind of thrown back and their heads up in the air, and you know, they're kind of strutting about a bit, but I don't remember any of that from you. I remember a very humble sort of gal, and then you've risen to these heights. But you're still that same person, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'll never change. I mean, I have to, if anything, it's helped me get out of my shell a lot more, and I'm not as reserved and shy, but it's something that I've kind of had to evolve into. I mean, yes, I sit back there, you know, and I, amongst these girls, and I'm like, we're not a whole lot alike. You know, they're very, you know, about their appearance and, you know, mm-hmm. very girly. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I figured there's a spot in this sport for me, and I'm supposed to, you know, grow out of it or learn whatever I'm supposed to out of it, even if I'm uncomfortable at times or whatnot. You know, this is my calling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of things I believe that you're afraid of is something special behind it. So that's why, mm-hmm. you know, I try not to worry about what other people are doing or how they're acting. I'm just me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm in a sport that, you know, you have to be more outgoing or more, you know, flamboyant or I don't know whatnot, you know, more showy, but I don't know, I feel like sometimes that person comes out when I get on stage, and right. you know, it's that person that I've always dreamt of being, but I never had the opportunity, so I feel like I'm kind of building up to that.
Right.
So I'll express myself there.
And in relation to how you express yourself on stage and present yourself, it would almost seem like maybe the women's physique, the transitioning to women's physique, where it's less about being girly and more about presenting your physique, in presenting providing a performance, in a sense, was actually maybe a little hidden strength, because then you don't have to compete in that more bedazzled sort of way, but rather really showing that you've done the work in the gym and all the parts are there in terms of the look and so forth. And maybe that was kind of a little secret weapon that y'all had in the bow and the quiver, that here you're taking this gal who is very laid back and reserved, but very accomplished in the gym, that does the work in the gym, but you put her in that circumstance where y'all prepped for that division and you did the work, and boom, there you appear on stage, and you went from 10th at the Olympia in figure after winning several shows outright to second in the Olympia in that showy division. Do you and Jim ever talk about that sort of thing, about any sorts of strategies or any kind of what he felt were your strengths going into it and why you should switch to physique?
Well, I had to actually kind of talk him into it.
You did.
He's like, why would you want to do this at the top of your figure? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, just looking at the history of figure, I think they're going to have their top five favorites. Mm-hmm. And just where I was competing in figure for 4 or 5 years, I'm like, mm-hmm. I want to push my body further to the next level now while I'm still loving it and enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, are you sure you want to do that? And I'm like, yes, I'm not getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think, you know, my body just progresses every year. And I think it may be, you know, I wanted to see if it was competitive enough, you know, for that division. And I was just, I never knew until it was all laid out there amongst the other girls. And I, like, I guess we do have something to work with. So.
Wow.
I don't know, it's falling into place. I was excited that he finally agreed with something.
I have to take a couple of his guru points away and give them to you. you're a personal trainer as well, but they're at your gym, right?
Yes, I like to, you know, help the girls that come in. They join the gym and they're always clueless of what to do. So I help a lot of girls put the, you know, workout program together, encourage them to train for a purpose, and you know, get in shape, you know, to be healthy and. Or compete if they want to. I noticed the more I've accomplished, they have a lot more people approaching you wanting your advice.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was going to ask you that. Do they do approach you more now?
Yes, and it seems like they're more apt to pay attention. A lot of people, they just seem like they want to, you know, pick your brain just to. But now they seem to be more attentive. Like you know, can back up your. I don't know, you're more credible now, I guess, if you've won.
Did your rates go up?
No.
Come on, they should have.
Excuse me. I just do it mostly for spending cash for Vegas.
But do they look at you differently as well?
I don't know. Everybody's, you know, it's just they're more attentive, I guess, and it's kind of different being on the other side. You're used to, you know, me being a fan instead of, you know, people looking up or admiring you. It's just kind of an interesting role reversal, but it's exciting. It's fun.
Yeah. But you're the same girl, and your aspirations are what, to strictly do better at the show this coming year.
Yes, just go for the ultimate accomplishment in the sport. I mean, it's right there at your fingertips. I can't, mm-hmm. I can't let it slip by. It's what you're meant to do, and I can't wait.
Are you prepping in any way differently?
I don't know. Maybe the guru can answer some questions like that.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Looking to lose weight, gain muscle, lean out, bulk up? Well, I do it all. Personalized service, detailed workouts, and most of all, results. So, you have an upcoming wedding, cruise, class reunion, or just adopting a healthier lifestyle? Hit me up. I'm at Travalis@gmail. Or on social media, Instagram, IFBB Pro, Travalis Blunt, or Travalis Blunt on Facebook. Hop in my DM or message me. And back to the show.
How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Jim. Good. It's great talking to her. She's so laid back. Saying you're the resident guru. She says y'all don't use that term around the house, but
yeah, we're just regular people.
But you know how these things are. It's like all you've got to do is get a couple people under your belt, and then you're a guru. But as we were talking earlier, you're the only one she's ever worked with, and she's accomplished so much with back-to-back multiple wins at Tampa and San Antonio over 2016 and 17, but in different divisions. Top 10 at two Olympias, one in figure, one in physique in back-to-back years. So it's the two of y'all that have put that together. There was no there was no other guru besides you and her coming up with it. But I was asking her specifically if there's anything you can share with our audience that's different about how you're preparing this year, aside from doing the single show. Is there, you doing any training different, diet different, or is it the same regimen?
Well, funny thing is I learned a lot from watching some videos of Dallas McCarver, God rest him. Those bands he used are incredible. And I know a lot of guys using the stuff, but I was always kind of against them. And I always figured, well, if they're good enough for Dallas McCarver, they're good enough for her. So, and I think that those alone changed her physique last year by, you know, just forcing the blood into the muscle. But other than this year, besides having 34 weeks to prep, it's just turn the ship around nice and slow. You got to learn to ramp the intensity up to the last day, not peak early. So it'll be quite interesting.
Are you going for anything different in terms of the look of the physique, the conditioning, the different separation, more size, anything, or is it pretty much steady to what got her second place, got her just out of that first place spot last year?
No, I think her shoulders need to be a little bigger. I think her hamstrings and quads need to be fuller, not leaner. Her waist to be a little smaller, and arms could be just a little bit bigger. Not much, just a little, maybe just a little fuller. We'll try to come in just a little bit fuller instead of leaner at the show, and you know, they seem to want, that seems to be the women's physique look that Juliana has, is a very full look, and obviously 4 years in a row, that's the look they're looking for, and that's the look you want. Don't fool yourself and think that you have some kind of look that's going to fool everybody. Juliana's the one to beat. That's the look you got to have. You just have to be better than her.
That's an interesting perspective on it, because I guess you could be full of yourself and go, well, this is the look.
It seems like a lot of them think they are the look, but Juliana's the look. If that's the look the judges are looking for, and that's all that matters is what the judges are looking for. Right. Okay. If you're in this game, the only thing that matters is what the judges think, not what you think. Mm-hmm. So, and I always hear people talk about, I just need to be better than I was the last time. Well, I always tell Jenny, you just need to be better than her, not you. So being better than you don't win nothing. Okay. So being better than the girl that's number one, that's what wins. So, and Jenny's been like that from day one. She's followed Nicole Wilkins, Erin Stern, Jen Strobel, all those girls. If that's the look they're going for, then that's the look I want to have, you know? So that's what you strive for.
Wow. Well, then I have to ask you a little bit, because I know you're straightforward, and we kind of talk shit sometimes. So, like with all the, it seems like much of the buzz is about these young kids with these freakish looks that might be lining up this year. If you know, the Natalia and the freak out of Chicago. What do you think about that? Because a lot of people think, oh well, Shanique is the look, or Natalia is the look. Well, like you said, it's Juliana. Juliana's the look. How do you deal with all that?
It's funny how we sit here and watch the show go on throughout the year, and it's going to be these girls with Juliana, and nobody ever talks about the girl who just wrecked the class and came in second. But I think Shanique is, it just don't get no more impressive than her physique is incredible. And she's definitely going to leave a mark on the sport. She's going to change things around this year for sure. And Natalia, with her conditioning, has always been incredible. And Jenny's went up against her many times in figure and battled out with her. So, they're definitely going to change the game a little bit. But if everybody thinks that Kira Newman, Jenny, Veronica Hinton and Heather Grace and the likes of those girls are going to lay down, then they're all crazy.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they're all pretty fierce warriors, and they've all been there and done that and worked their way to the top, and I don't think any of those girls are going to lay down and let those young girls come up and just run them over.
Right.
So
that's about the most fun statement I've heard about the women's division in multiple years, I think. It's all the talk in the industry tends to be about the open men's bodybuilding or maybe some 212 talk, but there's really a lot of excitement in the women's divisions, like with the women's physique. You've got all these kind of women that are just really doing phenomenal things in the gym and with their nutrition and their genetics, and they don't tend to get the respect that is due them.
Oh, absolutely. And another thing I keep reading and hearing about all the time is how, you know, one person picks one lady out and she's the most feminine looking. All these other girls were going into bad shape. I sat at that Olympia and I watched all of those women, and all of those women are very feminine. Okay. They're leaner, fuller, different looks here and there. Those women work hard to be feminine looking, and they all look feminine looking. Okay. And for people to sit there and say that this one's more feminine than all the rest of them, I think is just a bunch of bullshit. So they're just fans of the one person, and it just kind of knocks the other girls down, and I just don't agree with it, you know?
Yeah. And all the non bodybuilding divisions kind of suffer from that. It being, they're caricatured as in all the women's divisions. If you don't understand them, if you don't follow them, it's easy to just say, well, it's a TNA show for bikini, or or we're going to judge all the other women based on how lean or full their face is. If you got a line in your forehead from being lean, which women are going to tend to have, well, then she looks manly. But, you know, it's like, how do you define manliness or femininity anyway? It's kind of a difficult, and you can't judge it in a bodybuilding kind of competition, should you? Or can you? I don't know. But, go ahead.
Well, having the gift to be able to come in, you know, which is a genetic gift, I'm sure, and a well-planned gift, and a plan, you know, is to come in full and not have your face lean and stuff like that. And there's ways around all that stuff for sure. But, you know, it's just to just bash all those women that work their ass off, you know, to get in condition to come to the Olympia. I mean, they are at the Olympia. They are the best of the best, you know. And then to sit there and usually the people that are casting those stones have never even won a show or been in a show or done anything in their life anyway. So, you know, what does it even matter what they say? But as long as the women that are up there respect each other and you know, they know what they go through. And, you know, and you got, like I say, those top 6-10 girls, you know, and you know, Autumn Swanson and Jamie Pender and all those girls. Let me tell you something, man, those girls work hard, you know, and they work hard to keep their size down and condition. And, you know, personally, I like the very conditioned look because it's cut and dry who wins and loses. It's cut and dry who put the work in. You know, and, you know, if you look back at figure back in 09 and 10, 11, and it's like
a lot softer.
Everybody left the place going, what are they looking for?
Right.
And when they added conditioning into it, then it wasn't that no more. Everybody knows what they're looking for. They're looking for a very full conditioned look. And if you put the work in, you win. Simple as that. You know, and so I like that about physique. And I think those girls, you know, the Shanique Grants and the Natalia, well, they're going to do wonderful, you know, and they have a gift too, and they have a look, and if that's what the judge is looking for, then they're going to do well, you know. And, but, you know, if they think they're going to come in and rewrite the book, and, you know, if Julianna leaves the door open, then somebody's going to take it for sure, you know, obviously.
But Jennifer's going to be positioned to be one of those folks too, like you said, along with all these
absolutely.
Other girls. No, the other girls,
you know,
are going to lay
Julianna
back.
They said Julianna can't be beat, but they said Ronnie Coleman couldn't be beat either.
Right.
So, you know, anybody can be beat at any time. These young girls are definitely going to change the phase. And, you know, Natalia went out to California and she won her first figure show, and everybody hooped and hollered her. Jenny's already done that twice. You know, so, I mean, you're talking about things that have already been done, you know. So, but she's young, and everybody likes the young thing, and it is amazing. At 21 years old, what she's done is incredible.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can't deny that at all.
Yeah, the same with Shanique. She's just cartoonish,
absolutely.
You know. But the gals that have been around a while aren't going to necessarily go anywhere. And Jennifer was noting too that I kind of thought you had steered her toward physique, but she had that idea in her mind. In relation to what you're talking about figure becoming more conditioned versus, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, and then the similarity of looks when physique came about. What was your thought on what needed to be changed in her presentation? Things that she needed to do differently, maybe in the gym. Was it the bands and so forth, like you were talking about with Dallas, or was it a continuation of that, or were there other things that you felt you needed to do?
I thought Jenny, she needed to put a little size on, and Jenny's stage weight and figure was 130, and her stage weight and physique's only 134. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a huge difference, but her conditioning was way better because in figure, she would get really conditioned by July and then just basically coast the rest of the year, you know. And she could just hang on to it and eat a little bit more food and be, you know, rest a little bit. And we'd back off the hard workouts and stuff. But this pushes her more. She gets to train hard all throughout the year. It's what she wanted to do. And she wanted to do physique before she quit. And we don't know when that is, by the way. And but she wanted to try it out. It seemed to fit her pretty good so far. And, you know, she'll keep going until she don't want to do it no more. And she don't want to do it no more. And I'm good with that as long as she quits on her terms, you know.
Right. So, and that's nowhere necessarily in sight. But y'all are going to prescribe that time. So, well, I'm wondering. I feel like while I've got you on here, I need to ask you more. There's got to be somebody out there going, well, he's the guru. You got to ask him that question. Okay, well, I had kind of put it to Jennifer too, but this is one of the few years, or getting back to the early years of how she would do a single show a year. But at that point, it wasn't so serious. But this is obviously very serious. You're both are focused. You're both are veterans of her prep. And now you're cutting back to that single show. You don't necessarily see any cons to that. Obviously, we think of the pros. It's like only had to focus on that show when you've got, what, 34 weeks, I think you said. But
right.
Do you think there's any negatives to maybe not being on stage? Well, she mentioned y'all will go to Phoenix as well as maybe a bit of a warm-up and get some spending money for Vegas.
But hopefully.
You don't take anything for granted, but do you see that? Do you think that is necessarily only a positive, or do you think that there might be some negatives? Is there a lead up in those preparations for multiple shows a year, where maybe she has to turn on the gas and maybe the pilot light doesn't go on as well if you're only doing one or two shows in the year.
Well, that's true. And in figure, I used to let her go. I'd have her go to shows before she was 100%. And you know as well as I do, if you're not 100% in figure, you're not going to do well and on a pro level. And but she needed more time on stage to get comfortable, and we need to figure out, you know, exactly how it all worked. And one thing about Jenny is when she loses, she don't like it. She gets mad. And when we come home, things tighten up. Mm-hmm. Things tighten up big time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, I eat what she eats. We train together. We live our life like that. So is there going to be a downfall? There very well could be. We don't know that. Mm-hmm. The object is to stay focused the whole time. Mm-hmm. We basically withdraw ourselves from everybody. But that's how we choose to live our life, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the people at the gym, you know, we don't go out to dinner with nobody, or we don't go out to dinner. So we limit ourselves to the amount of people. Nobody really wants to come over to your house to eat chicken and broccoli, you know what I mean? so we just do our thing, you know, and that's what we've always done our whole life, is just what we've always done everything together. could there be a downfall? Sure, you know, there could be if you don't stay focused the whole time and you kind of lose what you're getting there, and then you don't have time to, there's no time to draw it back in, you know, like there would be if you did a show in July and maybe beginning of August.
But you'll have Phoenix. You'll have Phoenix. Is that, that'll be the trigger.
Yeah. You know, and like last year when we were at Phoenix, she came in second and everybody was, well, she could be, she could have won if she was a little bit more, you know, just a little bit conditioned in the back and stuff like that. And I just like, we're in a perfect position. Jenny came in second. She's mad. So she's going to listen to me all the next week, and that's exactly what we need to do. So if she would have won Phoenix, she would have assured me she had this under control and fought me on everything. So, but she didn't. And remember, you know, it's like, and we've talked about this before, and Jenny even said, we never go in thinking, you know, Jenny's going to be Miss Olympia. Mm. We go there to see where she falls in at. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think you're going to go to the Olympia and beat out the likes of Juliana, Kira Newman, Sharonica Hinn, you know, Heather Grace, and even Shanique and all those girls, if you think you're just going to walk in their yard and just mow them all down, then you are fooling yourself. You know, you better put the work in, man. Those girls, I watch those girls every single day, and they work just as hard as anybody else. And Jenny's one of those girls in that category. And it's who put the work in, who didn't go out to eat, who didn't go see their friends. It's who dedicated herself the most.
Yeah. Well, you sound increasingly like a politician, but I know you on the ground. You're just like George and all these other guys. You're in the camp of your athletes, and it's hardcore come game time, because you don't want to see anything in your way, and it's kind of like you're like the lead racehorse. I know George Ferris so much that way. He'll be there. Been with him at multiple shows where he'll be sitting a row or two away from the judges, just hollering and bad call, this or that, is because he just wants to see his people win, and he knows their potential. And from my perspective, that's pretty much the way you are. You can talk well about the rest of the athletes, but you are very much in her camp, and when it's game time, you are expecting her to win, as I would assume, you know, she's planning to put in 200% to do the same. How does that work? I think it's a necessity. It's like, if you don't really believe in yourself enough, and you're not going to push yourself enough, that if you're going to lay back, that's going to leave the door open for somebody else. Do you think that's true? I mean, is it similar to racing? I mean, if you're getting out on a racetrack, I mean, you've got to be willing to put everything into it and push it maybe even beyond the limits to win.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talk about these girls out of respect,
right?
Because I see what Jenny goes through. Mm-hmm. Okay, I see the things that Jenny goes through. I live with her every day. For women, I think it's a little different than men. So I speak of those women out of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to beat them? Yes, absolutely. And if they don't, if they're the same way, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would think, you know, I would hope they think that way. But out of respect of what they go through, I speak very highly of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yes, if you're going to lay up, if you're not ready to burn that $80,000 motor to the ground, if you're not willing to dedicate your life for 16, 20, 24, 30 weeks, then you're not going to win. You're not even going to come close.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every one of those women would agree, and men for that matter.
Mm-hmm. You like you say, you've got to be willing to, you know, there's a difference between just competing for the fun of it or competing for a trophy and competing to be the best in the world.
Absolutely. If you just want to be a class filler, good luck. Okay? Simple as that. And I've seen girls talk like that, and men too. You know, I just like the experience of coming here. Well, I can't stand losing. And Jenny can't stand losing either. And, you know, it sucks. I've never seen people in second, third, fourth place just celebrate. You know, I mean, the winner celebrates. And you can celebrate your accomplishment, but you're not celebrating winning. And winning, to me, is everything. So, but out of respect for all the girls, I know they put the work in, just like Jenny does. Mm-hmm. Have much respect for them, you know, and the ones with kids and have full-time jobs. I mean, that's incredible, you know. But Jenny's coming to win. She wants to win. So we got no friends when we get there after prejudging. We can all be friends and hang out and we do whatever you want. But until that's over, then we're there for business and business only.
Yes, you know, that attitude. I was watching the Jaguars get beat by New England today, and I really loved how the Jaguars, the first half, they seemed to be in control. They were kind of dominating. They were very professional. And then they started doing headbutts there at the end of the, you know, getting, you know, doing stupid unsportsmanlike personal fouls. And it's like, no, don't go that route. Don't be dirty. Don't make it look, because it's so it's so disrespectful. I mean, you want to win, but don't put that out there. And all the fans, everybody sees that too. It's like you'll have three guys up there, you know, the top three or the top five, and you know, one or two of the guys are their heads are hanging down, or they got a smirk on their face, a sour look, and it just kind of takes away from the whole thing. But what it really takes away from is them and people's appreciation for them, because it just doesn't look right. But you can still have that feeling inside of, you know, that Kai Phil sort of looking at each other like, I'm the best. No, I'm the best sort of thing. But you got to draw it back publicly, I guess.
Yeah, and I think the sport does well with rivalries. I think it draws more people in to watch it and stuff like that. And as long as everybody has respect for each other but yeah, I mean, once you get out of your, when you start doing the stupid stuff like you talked about right there, mm-hmm. the football team, you're just getting out of your game plan. Mm-hmm. You're changing your plan around without even thinking about it, and then you're done.
Yeah.
And you're focusing on something else instead of what you should be focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with today's world and social media and everything, it's like, even with Jenny, I'm like, quit worrying about that and just keep focusing on training. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like I told her, what do you want me to put on your tombstone? You want me to put on how many followers you have? How many championships you won? Just let me know. Okay. So, and if you want to do that, then you know, it's just, we're not going to sit here and just work on social media. We'll put some time into it. And that's about it. And whatever happens, but that ain't, the Olympia don't write a check for how many followers you have.
Right. When you're something of her manager as well as her guru and husband, and she literally doesn't get the respect she deserves in the industry. She doesn't get the attention she deserves. But how do you feel about that in general? Considering her record, she's done things that haven't been done before. Is it really kind of a disrespect for her, or just us guys in the media, guys and gals, not really doing our job and presenting the information to fans so they'll even know?
Well, my personal opinion is, since social media has come about, it's gotten so big, of course, if you got 20, 30, 40,000 followers and you do a story on a guy or a girl that has that many followers, then of course that's going to get you more followers, and that's the approval that they seem to focus on. Is it disrespectful? Nah, I don't know if you'd say disrespectful. It's just a business model that people go on. It's just like getting sponsored by people. Mm-hmm. You sponsor, and I use women because my wife, of course, you know, but you sponsor a girl that has 30, 40, 50,000 followers, you know, and the pictures she's putting out really don't have nothing to do with working out.
Right.
Do you really think those people are buying your product? I doubt it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls that are out grinding and working hard and winning, they may have 3,000 or 4,000 followers, but those are 3,000 or 4,000 people that buy stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
mm-hmm.
Bodybuilding fans, you know. And I understand the business model. I don't like it, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to change the world or reinvent the wheel. So as far as we're concerned, they can have all that they want. You know, she'll just keep winning, training, and winning championships. And when she's said and done, it's it's what me and her have to sit back and reflect what we did with our lives and the people that she's helped personally and mm-hmm. and inspired. And Jenny's pretty down to earth, and you know, we try not to get wrapped up in all that stuff. We don't go to the after parties, and we don't hang out with anybody, and we just do our own thing with our own people. And you know, and if you want to come with us, then that's fine. And you know, if not, then that's fine too. You know, I just just not how we are. You know, and you know, it's if you want to sit and talk, then I'll sit and talk to you. And if not, then that's fine too. I don't care. You know, but as long as everybody's nice and get along, I'm fine. If not, then get to see that other side. It's pretty. So, El Hillbilly comes out. So, but
well, related to the marketing, though, too, her story is so cool. How I'd introduced her is noting the fact that she'd turned pro at Masters Nationals as a Masters competitor, and she qualified that with, you know, she got in very at the young end of it, but yet we hear of so many competitors that they turn pro as a Masters competitor that really don't do much with it. Here she's made the accomplishments that she has and continues to make, which for all the folks that are trying to sell product to people that have money beyond the teenage age group, here's the perfect sort of person for it.
You would think, but since she doesn't put 58 posts up every day of, you know, trying to push herself out there and stuff like that, you know, which we'll work on a little bit this year, but you know, they're not going to find her, you know. I mean, if they don't follow bodybuilding, you know, and that's fine, you know, it's, it ain't like they pay any money anyway. They want to give you $300 worth of protein powder, or I can afford protein powder, so I ain't worried about it. So, you know, it's like, I don't care about that stuff. And we own our gyms and we do our thing. And yeah, her story, she's probably, I don't know for sure, but she's probably one of the most winning competitors ever came out of the Masters Nationals. And, you know, a lot of those women probably win and don't think they can compete and just don't keep pursuing it at that level and try to compete hard at, you know, with the mature muscle that they have, you know, or they don't get, you know, a lot of women go there and they have a in-house trainer at the gym that helped them get to that level. And then they need to go to the next level and, you know, the guy won't figure it out or whatever, you know, or I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I've never been around any more of them, but I just know Jenny and I know us, and I like to compete, and I like the fact that she competes, and my life revolves around what we do, and just like hers does, and it just works for us, you know. It may not work for everybody, but,
absolutely. You know, it's... Works well for y'all, but your empire isn't one built on smoke and mirrors, I guess. It's not a...
Our life is based on us, not bodybuilding. When we're done with this, we'll go do something else. And we'll always do stuff together, you know. It's like we barefoot water ski, went drag racing, all that stuff, you know. And then she got good at this, and I'm like, you know, I just love winning, so I love to watch her win, you know. So my day's come and gone, okay. Men don't admit that when they see their wife get good at something, but my day is come and gone, you know. So let's focus on the winner, you know. My dad told me, son, if you can't be the champion, for God's sake, get on the team, you know. So, you know.
Well, I think you're more than on the team. You're an integral part of the team for sure. So for people that are wondering too, that are listening to you, she's a trainer. Are you a trainer? Do y'all take on? I know she takes on clients, but she's pretty low key about it, just like y'all are about everything. But if someone thinks y'all might have something special and they want to contact you for regular advice or something to be their guru, is that a possibility?
Well, first of all, the word guru is not me, okay? George Farah, Kenny Rambod, Chris Aceto, those guys are gurus, okay? Those guys who produce the Olympia winners and stuff like that, which hopefully, God willing, I will be one of those people and still not be a guru. I work out with my wife every day, and we work at this together. Mm-hmm. And to answer the question, yes, when people come and ask her advice, she's more than willing to sit down with anybody and give them any advice. She actually gets excited about that and steer clear of it. So I focus on Jenny and Jenny alone. I don't need to make a living at training people, prepping people. I don't want to make a living at prepping people. Mm-hmm. I need to focus on our businesses and her, and she can focus on the people that she likes to help and does mm-hmm. help, and she gets a lot of kick out of that and a lot of satisfaction out of helping those women achieve some of the goals, whether it's just dropping 5 pounds or training for a show. You know, mm-hmm. now if they get into a show now, I will get involved. But ooh. I just kind of lead Jenny into the right direction that we need to go and give a few pep talks, and then, you know, but I really don't want to be involved with anybody else. It's not, there's Jamie Iovone in Orlando. That guy's incredible. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And guys like that I've met, and those guys are the guys that can tolerate the people and Chase Sellers over there and Flow Physiques over in St. Pete. That guy is really good, and mm-hmm. and I just send people over there when they come to us. You need to go talk to these people, you know.
Wow. So she's got you all to herself. Gee whiz.
Well, it just works for us.
Well, it's been great talking to you as always. I guess did she wrap up what she had going? Maybe ought to
she's right.
Wrap up.
Sign off for her here.
A wrap up.
Right. I appreciate everything you do.
Oh, thank you, man. You're a good buddy. I talk much less politically correct with you when we're not taping it for your show.
Does he bring out the bad boy in you?
No, he's just given he's just such given such great PR for you.
Yes.
I guess
that's how we work as a good team.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see. Now, I know you don't push your stuff. You know, you're not promoting this and that, but why don't you give us a rundown of some of what you do have going on, like with the gym, the name of the gym and where it's at, and I think you've got a new sponsor, a suit sponsor as well. Why don't you give us some of that information?
Pat Patterson out in Arizona, she has the suit designer. She's Kicking Crystals, and I think this is her like third or fourth year, and she decided me to add her to her team after meeting her, I think, 2 years ago at the Phoenix Pro. Mm-hmm. So I was excited about that. That gets you pumped up for the new year. Our gym's just been doing great. We're going on our third year, and just every year, all the members are following us and help push me along and encourage me. So
that's Retroflex.
I contribute that to a lot of our success, all the support.
That's Retroflex?
Yes, Retroflex Fitness. We're there in Zephyr Hills, Florida. I don't know, it's about 30, 45 minutes outside of Tampa. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad drive. It's right off the interstate, pretty much. So everybody needs to come check it out.
Jim noted that you get excited when people ask you for advice, so maybe there'll be a herd of folks over there looking for advice.
Well, that's something I've kind of learned through the years, too. It's like I was more apt to, like, just vomit advice right off the gate, but then I started realizing who's serious and who's, like, not serious, so you have to be more selective of who you want to waste your breath with sometimes. But no, it's been refreshing because I have stumbled across some young girls that, you know, I can see they have a desire in their eyes like I did. And, you know, they're a little more than just curious. They, mm-hmm. you can see they want to train with a purpose. And mm-hmm. so I guess I hung in there that many years. There has been some cool girls that we've got to, you know, experiences together.
Yeah, for the people that want to do well at the highest level, it certainly doesn't hurt to pick the brain of someone that's achieving things at that level. So I would suspect that versus the average gym goer that might just ask you some lame question, now you're getting much better questions directed your way that kind of actually maybe kind of pique your own interest and kind of make your day when somebody asks you a decent question, huh?
Right, definitely. I know some of them are like, what in the world do you even come out? I don't even know where to begin to answer that. So I just let Jim handle it. But no, it's been a fun, exciting experience.
Well, you've got,
I don't know.
Well, go ahead.
I just found that's about all that goes on is, you know, I got a cool suit sponsor and, you know, I go and train at the gym every day and, my life's pretty simple other than outside of that. And I don't know. I just like the regimen of just, you know, getting up and doing the same thing. It's just, I function like that easy. I don't know.
Yeah. I talked to you off air about, hey, why don't you have a meal company sponsor? There's so many of those companies. You can get one of those. Hey, you could get, who's doing your tan? This and that. And you're going like, Elisa takes care of my tan. Oh, I like to cook. I don't need meals.
No, I actually did dabble with doing a little food prep for somebody else, helping them get a kickstart on, you know, they wanted to lose some weight. So, all right, let me help you. And I had some downtime here in the off season. I'm like, let me try prepping some meals for you. And it was fun, but I think, I can't see myself doing it full time.
No, so you don't.
Go back to feeding Gemini.
Yeah, but you don't need another.
Got a good kickstart.
Yeah, no other businesses. You don't need any other businesses right now.
No.
You've got plenty.
There's no telling what he'll come up with every morning. He's like, oh, I have this idea. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Well, they usually turn to gold. So, you know, it's.
Yes, I've learned to hear it all the way out to the end, and sometimes he goes, well, you were right about that one, or. And then sometimes I eat my words. Yeah, you were right about that one.
So. Yeah. Y'all gotta, you know, his ideas are gold. And, you know, he talks about being on the winning team, being on Jenny's team. And I'm like, well, you're much more than just being a member of the team or on the team. But, y'all do make a great one. So, well,
thank you very much.
Well, how can people.
That's the legacy we want to leave behind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe there's a book. Maybe that can be something. You can write some e-books or something of the sort. There I go again. I'm coming up with ideas. And you're going, like, no, leave the ideas to Jim. He has plenty of them. Well, Jennifer, how can people contact you that might be interested in reaching out to you? What's the best way?
Facebook. I have, you know, IFBB Pro Jennifer Taylor fan page. Instagram, Jim Taylor, IFBB Pro. Google Retroflex Fitness if you want to email us there. Mm-hmm. You know, the internet's amazing. You can find anybody basically nowadays.
Yeah, unfortunately, right?
But, no, it's been fun. It's exciting.
Well, I look forward to seeing y'all sometime soon. And get over that side of the I-4 corridor. Here before long.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for spending the time with us, you and Jim, and sharing some of your story and your perspective and who you are, but and what makes you tick and doesn't make you tick.
Right. Well, thank you for the opportunity to, you know, share us with the world, the bodybuilding world. I look forward to seeing you and hopefully get to set up another photo shoot soon.
I look forward to it. It's always good to. The last junkyard shoot was pretty amazing. I don't know. Y'all come up with some interesting sorts of places to shoot. I'll leave that up to y'all.
All right. We'll come up with something over there on your side of town at the beach.
For the best look on stage and most convenient, hassle-free service for your bodybuilding fitness event spray tan, look no farther than Hot Spot Competition Tanning. Elisa and her crew have perfected their service at contests throughout Florida and beyond with the recognition and support of the majority of athletes and event promoters. Visit hotspotcompetitiontanning.com to schedule your competition airbrush spray tanning and competition makeup and hair appointments.
Yeah, one of the things that I've really been focusing on and trying to bring up this season is my middle back, my rhomboids. Shout out to Dr. Green over at Performance Driven Chiropractic here in Orlando, Florida. If you're in need of any work, guys, go ahead and pop in. Tell them that Travalis Blunt sent you. They are literally chiropractic savants. You just simply have to describe the problem. You know, they kind of get to touch it and feeling around and instantly find it and diagnose it and get you on the right track. And they've made me better in a matter of weeks. So I'm sure they can help you also. But I needed for my rhomboids to pop, and, you know, they've been working with the scraping and some cupping and all of these different procedures to really, you know, help me to be the best that I can be. So yeah, if you're ever in need of any work, go and holler at Dr. Green over at Performance Driven.